Welcome to this audio issue of Porter Stansberry's Compete Investor, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. This issue was originally published on Thursday, December 11, 2025. Year-end jitters. It's a great time to reevaluate the portfolio. Two sell alerts, and staying the course on two others. The market fluctuates at year-end for various reasons. At first, the market faces tax loss selling. Investors unload their worst-performing stocks to book losses that can help offset any gains they might have elsewhere in order to reduce their tax burden. After that phenomenon has faded, a new and very different dynamic unfolds. As New Year's Eve approaches, institutional investors sell their winners, because they need the cash to help their hunt for the laggards that could become next year's winners. The winners this year, of course, are concentrated in anything exposed to artificial intelligence, AI. This year-end sell-off for profit-taking might have sent AI shares falling a bit, but that's the full extent of it. Some actual cracks in the fundamentals of these companies began to emerge. Investors have lost confidence in AI leader OpenAI after recent public commentary from CEO Sam Altman that made him look less than ready for prime time. Then there was a leaked internal OpenAI company memo in which Altman acknowledged that the most recent version of the company's ChatGPT offering is lagging behind Google's Gemini, and that he sees rough vibes ahead. Since it burst onto the world stage in November 2022, analysts have viewed OpenAI as a key cog in the AI machine. And given the apparently interconnected financing web of major players like OpenAI with Oracle, ORCL, and NVIDIA, NVDA, this has spooked investors. 5-year credit default swaps for Oracle have gone from only 35 basis points in July to 125 basis points today, a sure sign of concern about Oracle's level of debt. That represents the highest debt cost for the company since 2022. And Oracle stock has followed lower, down over 20% so far in November. Share price declines have been broader than just Oracle. Even after a recent bounce back, Morgan Stanley's index of AI stocks is down 10% from its mid-October high. As a benchmark, we can look to the Russell 2000, a more representative measure of various sectors spanning the market. It is up a little less than 1% over that same time. That shows a shift in the market, a rare time when the broader market is up and the hyperscalers are down, something it feels like investors haven't seen for a while. That shift in dynamic has to a large degree been driven by fundamentals, as doubt has grown about the future of AI, while the big players in that domain have boosted debt levels. It serves as a reminder that investors should always be re-evaluating their portfolios for changes in the fundamentals. That's even more true when there is a trend change at the top of the market, coupled with the annual tradition of year-end portfolio rotation. This is a good time to take a hard look at portfolio holdings and think about capital allocation for 2026. In this latest update of Compete Investor, we are making some changes to that end. We provide updates on 4 stocks with actionable points worth highlighting. One of these is a litigation finance company still looking for closure on a significant legal battle. Another is a big winner in a fast-growing segment of consumer products that is battling overall consumer sluggishness. There is also an energy drink winner that hit a bump in the road on its last earnings report, but that we believe has a good year ahead. And then there is a subprime lender continuing to navigate a very difficult industry environment. In 2 of these cases, we continue to like the stocks and see real investment opportunities going forward. But in the others, we post sell alerts. Plus, we're making changes to our short portfolio at the end of this week's issue. Change is afoot in the market this time of year, so let's dig into the stocks and look ahead at what's next. Sell alert: cutting losses at Burford Capital. Litigation finance leader Burford Capital NYSE, BUR, reported a weak Q3 on November 5th, an earnings per share, EPS, loss of 9 cents was well below consensus of a 27 cents gain. The majority of the miss was driven by weaker gains from legal finance assets, a key driver of company revenue. Unfavorable changes to discount rates, changing anticipated payoffs in future cases, and other variables dragged down earnings, which, for litigation firms, are tough to predict on a quarterly basis. But there is more to the story. Burford shares are down about 35% since our February 2024 recommendation. The primary driver has been growing doubts about actually cashing in on the $6 billion it is owed from the government of Argentina. This hopeful payout is the result of the YPF case, a case Burford financed and received a favorable ruling on. The case involves institutional shareholders in Argentina's largest oil company YPF, who sued over the government's nationalization of the firm, which left investors empty-handed. The latest setback centers around Argentina's appeal, where the government argues that the U.S. courts have no jurisdiction and that it should instead be tried in Argentina. Oral arguments were made on October 29, and during the 90-minute hearing, the panel of judges expressed significant skepticism about whether the case properly belonged in U.S. courts. One judge specifically remarked to Burford's counsel, "This case should perhaps have been tried in Argentina, where local judges could better interpret Argentine law on shareholder rights and the validity of YPF's bylaws." The legal issues are highly complex. On the November earnings call, Burford management expressed confidence in a favorable outcome. But investors walked away feeling that there was a solid chance the case could be sent to Argentina. There is certainly still hope they can force a settlement, but it looks more likely that Argentina's appeal is successful. Burford's core business trends, on the other hand, continue to look strong. It has generated $637 million of new commitments. This is financing that Burford has contractually agreed to provide for legal finance assets, so far in 2025. That's a 52% increase over 2024. And book value per share is now at $11.41, up from $11.03 at the end of 2024. That book value is a key metric. Over the past 5 years, Burford shares have traded between 1x and 2x its book value. And given that it hasn't fallen below book, we viewed this as a solid potential floor. But now the stock is trading below that window, at 0.83x that current book value level. So the market is clearly pricing in a YPF loss. We can infer what the market is pricing in to some extent, as what we estimate to be a $400 million impairment would reduce book value to the current stock price of $9 per share. That's a harsh outcome, but not impossible, and we need to respect that. Our advantage is always going to be on fundamental research, and unfortunately the fundamentals have become less important compared to a legal situation in which we can't get the same level of insight. We are cutting our losses with Burford Capital and recommend selling the shares as we can find a better use for the cash elsewhere. Action to take: sell Burford Capital, NYSE, BUR. Sell alert: taking profits at Ulta Beauty. Cosmetics retailer Ulta Beauty, NASDAQ, Ulta, has been a big winner so far in 2025, with the stock up 38% year-to-date, YTD, nicely outpacing the 16% return for the S&P 500. But the results look even better compared to a consumer proxy such as the S&P Retail ETF, XRT, which has increased only 9% YTD. About 13% of Ulta's YTD share price performance came in response to its recent earnings report on December 4. Ulta reported same-store sales, SSS, growth of 6.3%, well ahead of consensus expectations for 3.3%. Transactions were up 2.4% and pricing increased 3.8%. Fragrance led the way, increasing double digits in the quarter, but skincare was also up high single digits and makeup rose mid-single digits. Total sales were up 12.9%, including a low single-digit contribution from the acquisition of British retailer Space NK in July. Gross margins increased just under a percentage point from the same quarter a year ago, but that was more than 120 basis points ahead of expectations that management talked down just a quarter ago. This all added up to EPS of $5.14, well ahead of $4.61 consensus. More good news: management raised sales and EPS guidance for the year, implying Q4 EPS of $7.61-$7.90 compared to consensus of $7.47. And that guidance also implies lower gross margins, which seems conservative given the way management sandbagged this metric the last time around. This was a blowout quarter, so it's no surprise that it sent the stock up to a new high. But that doesn't mean there is nothing to worry about. After all, even a powerful growth story is not completely immune to the broader economic backdrop of skyrocketing prices that are leading to weak consumer spending and credit card defaults. And a very strong quarter, and even a strong Q4, doesn't necessarily change that. This makes the setup appear somewhat conflicted. On one hand, the stock is still trading at 24x this year's earnings. While that's up from around 15x when we recommended shares in May 2024, it remains well below the 10-year average valuation of 33x. On the other hand, sales growth next year still looks like it should be mid-single digits, at best. That actually creates a high bar to further upside to analyst estimates, a rare situation for such a high-quality growth story. As great as this company is, and as strong as Q3 was, these stories don't last forever in a soft economy and competitive retail backdrop. We are taking profits, with Ulta shares up 52% in 18 months. Action to take: sell Ulta Beauty, NASDAQ, Ulta. Look beyond a temporary hiccup at Celsius. At first glance, energy drink growth story Celsius Holdings, NASDAQ, CEL, reported a strong Q3 on November 6. It reported revenue of $725 million, up 173% from the same quarter a year ago, 2% ahead of analyst expectations. Gross margins looked very strong as well, at 51.4%, up 545 basis points from Q3 2024. That gross margin result was also slightly ahead of consensus estimates of 51.2%, and selling and general administrative cost control also looked very strong, with overall operating margins well ahead of the street. The net result was adjusted EPS of 42 cents, well ahead of the 28 cents consensus, but shares got crushed, falling 25% on the day earnings were released, a pretty shocking result for what looked like a great report. In short, even though sales were ahead of analyst expectations, investors expected even more. Inventory trends seem to have driven this sales disappointment versus expectations. Last year, Pepsi had reduced its 2024 inventory to trim down those levels to save costs, severely constricting sales of Celsius products. That sales reduction made for an easy year-over-year comparison. But in the end, there was not enough inventory available to drive sales higher than expectations. The bigger issue for CellShares was the concern about Q4. Management was cautious on the transition of newly acquired nutritional supplement business Alani Nu into the PepsiCo distribution network. There was no clear path for how fast Pepsi could build inventory, and Celsius management does not expect clarity before Q1 2026. In addition, management pointed out that tariffs and higher scrap costs, the costs associated with materials that become unsuitable during production, could reduce Q4 gross margins. This lack of clarity with major distribution partner Pepsi understandably spooked investors, so big investors fled Celsius to be safe. The Pepsi transition is clearly temporary though, it will sort itself out over a quarter or two. The company expects margins to improve in 2026 with help from Alani Nu synergies and freight savings due to improving their supply chain. Plus, Celsius' addition of the Rockstar energy drink brand should help overall margins due to operational improvements. The reality is that 2026 consensus estimates actually went up 7% after these results. That means those same 2026 estimates are now up 40% since the spring of 2025. Usually stock prices follow earnings, but that hasn't been the case with Celsius over the past several months. Shares of Celsius are basically flat over that same time frame. That shows the disconnect between these temporary hiccups and the broader long-term earnings trend. The earnings are what matter, and this looks like a great opportunity for investors to take advantage of what looks to be a short-term bump in the road. Action to take: buy Celsius Holdings, NASDAQ. Sell, up to $40 per share. Seeing hope in credit acceptance. Subprime auto lender credit acceptance, NASDAQ, CAC, reported a nice Q3 on October 30th, all things considered. The company reported adjusted EPS of $10.28, ahead of consensus expectations for $9.52. Revenue of $582 million was up 6% from the same quarter a year ago. Average loan balance increased 4% in the quarter to $8 billion, showing strength in a tough market environment. But the quarter had some rough points. The number of active dealer partners was down 5% in the quarter, and volume per partner was down another 12%. As a result, consumer loan unit volume fell almost 17% from the same period a year ago. Ongoing dealer attrition is a real concern. On top of that, the drop in volume per dealer partner indicates a tougher competitive environment in the market. Credit performance was also mixed. Provision for credit losses of $152 million was better than the $165 million that analysts expected, and 2025 collection rates of 67.2% were ahead of forecasts. But projected collections on older cars from 2021 to 2024 continued to fall. The 2022 tranche remains the company's worst performer in its history, with a projected collection rate at only 59.3%. In addition, overall forecasted cash flows were cut by $59 million, slightly better than the $56 million cut the last time the company reported, but it's still the 10th quarter in a row of a reduction in overall cash flow. Industry subprime delinquencies, measured by loans 60 days past due or more, hit a record 6.65% in October 2025, up slightly from 6.5% in September. Loan interest rates are 20% or more right now for lower quality loans, squeezing the budgets of borrowers who are facing the same high inflation and weak economy that are plaguing the consumer everywhere. So this is certainly a tough backdrop that credit acceptance is trying to manage. The company continues to navigate this difficult economy pretty well, but Wall Street research analysts don't like the stock right now. Sell-side analysts are uniformly negative, with zero buy ratings on CAC, and many other investors are betting against the stock as well. Short selling has picked up, with the number of shares shorted having tripled from the same time a year ago. A whopping 30% of the total shares outstanding are now sold short, illustrating an extremely high level of investor negativity. That makes this a real contrarian idea. Because you know who likes the stock? The company does. In Q3, Credit Acceptance repurchased 230,000 shares for $107 million, reducing share count over 2%. And average share count for the quarter is now down over 7% from the end of last year. Investors should like that, because it means the company's interests and shareholder interests are aligned. We expect buybacks to continue. Down 17% from when we recommended them 3 years ago, shares trade at 10x expected 2026 earnings, about as cheap as they've been in 10 years. There is real value in a market otherwise dominated by high-flying AI stocks. Investors should stay the course with a management team that continues persistently to accumulate shares. Action to take: buy Credit Acceptance, NASDAQ, CAC, up to $500 per share. Clearing out our short portfolio. Last month, we rolled out Porter's Guide to Shorting a Stock, as well as a list of 5 categories where investors can find stocks suitable for shorting. We included 4 stocks along with that report, giving each one our highest risk rating of 5, and rightly so. Now, given the bullish environment in the overall market, we see that our timing on these was not right. Because of this, we are pulling back the short recommendations for now. We apologize for this sudden change. Generally, we do not advocate selling companies short, except in extremely rare cases when we believe bankruptcy is both inevitable and likely to happen fast. Why? Because, when shorting stocks, the downside risk tends to be greater than the upside gain. And no matter what the outcome, there's a borrowing cost, investors still have to pay to borrow shares. The other consideration is that inflation will always cause nominal prices to rise, which helps companies that should go bankrupt escape. That can cause nominal share prices to head higher. What's more, if you short shares, you have to pay the dividend while you wait for the share price to drop. These real-world frictions and costs add something between 5% and 10% a year to the cost to short, making earning a profit, on average, very challenging, especially if it takes a long time to collapse. While we continue to be bearish on the stocks we placed into our short portfolio, for the reason stated above, our conviction level is not high enough to maintain a short sell recommendation on these stocks: Norwegian Cruise Line, NCLH, Oklo, OKLO, Target, TGT, and Carvana, CVNA. And with Carvana, our timing could not have been worse. Days after recommending it as a short, the announcement came out that Carvana would soon be included in the S&P 500 index, meaning that beginning December 22nd, nearly every index fund will be setting CVNA shares on auto buy in order to mimic holdings of the S&P. Because of this, Carvana shares rose nearly 50%, automatically stopping us out of the position. Actions to take: close short positions on shares of Norwegian Cruise Line, NYSE, NCLH, Oklo, NYSE, Oklo, Target, NYSE, TGT, and Carvana, NYSE, CVNA. Porter & Company, Stevenson, Maryland. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter Stansberry's Complete Investor. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 buys, where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.